We'll move to the next case. Well, as I find my list. The next case, the argument's been waived, so we'll move to the fifth case of the day, which is Gabarov versus Mukasey. Ms. Bluma?
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Mary Bluma, and I'm here on behalf of the petitioner, Mr. Gabarov. Your Honors, we're here today to request a remand and a vacation of the order of the Board of Immigration Appeal denying petitioner's motion to reconsider petitioner's previous the Board of Immigration's previous denial of petitioner's motion to reopen. Your Honor, it is our position today that the Board of Immigration Appeals abused its discretion because a copy of the Board of Immigration Appeals order denying the petitioner's appeal was never served on the petitioner pursuant to 8 CFR 1003.1F. It's also our position today that we urge the Court to find that the petitioner has been unduly prejudiced by the BIA's abuse of discretion and that his due process rights were violated as a result. With respect to our first position, Your Honors, 8 CFR 1003.1 provides service for board of decisions and requires that the decision of the board shall be in writing and copies thereof shall be transmitted to the board of the service and to the alien or the party affected by the decision. It is our position today that the board violated 8 CFR 1003.1 because Mr. Gabarov never received the correct order issued by the BIA.
Do we have a copy of that order anywhere in the record?
Yes, Your Honor.
So it is in the record. I didn't see it in any of the appendices, but
it should be. It's in our appendix also, the copy. It's a transmittal letter, an order pertaining to another alien.
Well, that one we have.
Yes.
Talking about the one that actually pertains to your client. I know your argument is that he never got it.
Right.
But is it anywhere in the record?
Which, I'm sorry, what?
The order that actually pertains to his case.
No, it's not, Your Honor. No.
So we have that nowhere in the record.
To date, Mr. Gabarov has not been formally served with the correct decision.
I understand that he hasn't been served with it, but does it exist, is my question, because I didn't see it anywhere.
I do not believe it's in the record. We do not have a copy of it in our appendix either.
Do we know that a decision has been made?
Your Honor, a deportation letter was issued to him in July of 2005 requiring a bag and baggage letter, and he... when he went to the appointment, this is the first time he was notified a deportation order had been entered against him.
But as far as the record reflects, that order is non-existent.
Exactly.
Or exists somewhere but has not been supplied to us.
Right. Your Honor, as I stated, the first time Mr. Gavra was ever informed a deportation order had been entered against him, pertaining to the board's denial of his appeal, he attended the appointment and brought the order that pertained to the other alien to the officer and was informed that this order was ineffective and that they would be granting a stay of removal based on his I-246, which he laid out that there was no final order of the Board of Immigration Appeal, there was improper notice per 8 CFR 1003.1, and there had been a prior determination also when he went to his I-130 interview back in 2003. The officer there also, he diligently brought the order that he received and told the officer, this is affect his I-130, and he was informed by her that this was a defective notice and would not be applied to him. Your Honor, our next point would be that, in addition to that, 8 CFR 1003.1 has been violated. We believe that the Board of Immigration's decision denying the petitioner's motion to reconsider also supports our position that this regulation was violated. It's our contention that the Board should be stopped from denying that it served a defective order upon the petitioner. In its decision denying the motion to reconsider, it did not refute the fact that the decision sent to Mr. Gavrov was incorrect and not applicable to his case, yet in its decision, it holds that the order was served on counsel. We find this finding and their decision is clearly erroneous as the record indicates that inapplicable order pertaining to another alien was enclosed with the transmittal letter and served on Mr. Gavroy's prior attorney. We urge the court to look at the Martinez case, where the court held that the board does not effectuate service if it fails to mail its decision to the party's correct address of record. Here we have the correct address where the transmittal letter was sent, but it was an incorrect decision. Therefore, we believe that the same rules should be applied to this case. Even though it wasn't the incorrect address like Martinez, it was an incorrect decision served on Mr. Gavroy's attorney at the time. Additionally, the board's decision does not contest that they ineffectively served the decision, and it merely switches the burden of inquiry to the petitioner of the error caused by the board's own internal error, essentially. In its decision denying the motion to reconsider, it quotes to an older decision of Singh v. Gonzalez, which was later withdrawn by the court. In this older opinion of the Singh court, it held that the alien had a duty to inquire as to the status of his appeal. This holding was later withdrawn by the court. I believe it is instructive in this case. The Ninth Circuit, in the Singh v. Gonzalez most recent opinion, 494F3D1170, it's a situation where the board issued a decision. The petitioner didn't. Petitioner later moved to reopen, but it was untimely. The Ninth Circuit, he provided affidavits indicating that he never received the notice, the Board of Immigration provided affidavits to attach his motion to reopen and reissue the decision, swearing it never received the decision of the BIA. The board denied motions in this case, stating that the record showed that the decision was correctly mailed. The Ninth Circuit disagreed and held that the board should provide an explanation of how it reached its conclusion and is obligated to consider and address in its entirety the evidence submitted by the petitioner. Where its failure to do so could have affected its decision, the court found remand was appropriate. The reasoning in the Singh decision was that the board should have specifically addressed what procedures or processes existed to ensure that petitioners are notified of the board's decision. Again, the board here acknowledges in its decision denying motions, petitioner's motion to reconsider, it acknowledges that it was an incorrect order enclosed with a transmittal letter, but it provides no explanation of why this error occurred. In fact, even in its own decision, it recognizes that such evidence of this incorrect order can be construed as demonstrating a violation of the regulation 8 CFR 10003.1F. Lastly, Your Honors, we believe that Mr. Gavroy has been duly prejudiced by the board's error and his due process rights violated as a result. The board's decision denying the motion reconsidered indicates that the petitioner has not demonstrated that he was prejudiced by the alleged error in the issuance of our decision on appeal. Your Honor, we disagree. We submit to you that the petitioner couldn't possibly contest the underlying decision in his motion to reopen because he never even received the underlying decision.
He seven-month delay.
I'm sorry?
Wasn't there a seven-month delay in this from the second, what was it, the bags and baggage letter versus...
The motion to reopen?
Yeah, I believe they have 7 months.
Yes, Your Honors. He retained new counsel.
Didn't you submit supplemental authority about someone else that got a... But it was about very shortly after they got that they brought out an error, a petition to reopen as opposed to 7 months. Didn't study the case. Didn't you submit it?
I submitted the Singh decision, but I think, Your Honor, the Purvis case is instructive, which this court decided. It's a situation where the alien missed his asylum hearing due to the fact that his attorney claimed that he never received a time change of the hearing. Petitioner in that case didn't retain a lawyer until 9 months after, who then filed a motion to reopen based on ineffective assistance of counsel. This occurred 9 months after the original decision was made, and the court found that it reasoned that equitable tolling applied in the situation because the petitioner had to find another lawyer who had to research the facts and laws of the case, and that they would toll the 90-day statute or motion to reopen limitations period.
What's the reason for the seven-month delay in your case?
Your Honor, he obtained a new lawyer in September 2005, which is when as soon as he received the bag and baggage letter, he retained a new lawyer who then at the time appeared with him at the I-246 appointment and immediately stayed for removal. However, this lawyer did not file the motion to reopen until April 06, which is the seventh-month period you're referring to, and we submit to you that this lawyer also had to look into the case and research what was going on, the facts, and see if it it was a correct decision had ever properly been served on Mr. Gabarov. And we submit to you that that's why the seven-month delay is also reasonable, such as the situation in Pervez. Thank you. I'd like to save any time I have for rebuttal.
Okay. Mr. Zeilin.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Ben Zeilin on behalf of the Attorney General. Before I go into my prepared remarks, I'd just like to inform the Court that, in fact, the correct board decision issued in June of 2002 is within the administrative record. I'm not exactly sure of the page number, but in the record, before the conclusion of proceedings section, it's the original section in the back that details his immigration and board proceedings resulting from his asylum and withholding application. That decision addressed to him and addressed to his former counsel is within the administrative record. Additionally, I would also like to note that the Singh case referred to by petitioner's counsel is instructive in this case, the new decision issued by the Ninth Circuit. In that decision, the Court did acknowledge that the alien did not receive proper service of the board decision. Let me just rephrase it. The Court discussed the fact that the alien may not have received notice of the board decision. So what the Court instructed the board to do was to review any affidavit submitted into the record by the alien discussing the fact that he had not received his board decision. This case is clearly different from that instance, particularly because there have been no affidavits submitted by either petitioner or his former counsel, which would have stated that he did not receive the board decision that was sent in June 2002. Singh, which is a Ninth Circuit case, notes that the board has a duty to examine all the facts, and its failure to do that in the Singh case resulted in a remand because the board did not consider the affidavits. Here there were no affidavits to consider. The board reviewed the administrative record and found that, one, the record did not establish that Singh that Mr. Gabarov did not receive the proper board decision. And the board also, in this case, made an alternative finding or made a discussion, said even if we take the facts as true that Mr. Gabarov did not receive the decision, the fact that he did not make any efforts to check into the status of his case even after receipt of the proper transmittal letter, which he acknowledges in his brief and motion to reopen, that therefore the evidence does not support his conclusion that he did not receive the board decision.
Well, apparently that's not true, though. He did check soon as he got the wrong decision.
Well, again, respectfully, Your Honor, there's no evidence in the form of affidavits from petitioner or his counsel that he did check. And in fact, the board in its decision noted, in its decision denying the motion to reconsider, it observed that petitioner did not establish that he made any efforts to check on the status of his case. Now, in his brief to this court, petitioner claims for the first time that he checked into the status of his case. But there's no evidence to support that conclusion. I mean, one, that's not in the administrative record. It's not in the motion to reopen, not in the motion to reconsider, and only before this court in its brief where petitioner says, my former counsel contacted the agency to determine what was the status of my case. But the board in its own decision said there's no evidence before us to show that the petitioner made any efforts to follow up on his case.
You do have the documentary evidence, though, of the wrong decision being transmitted.
That's correct.
And you don't contest that, right?
Well, Your Honor, the government contests the fact that petitioner failed or his former counsel failed to submit any affidavits, which would have...
I understand that part. I'm talking about the document that was submitted with the motion to reopen, which is the document that consists of the transmittal letter to him, to which is attached somebody else's BIA decision.
That is correct, Your Honor.
That you don't dispute?
I do not dispute the fact that that was submitted to the evidence. Because there are no affidavits saying that the incorrect transmittal letter was or an incorrect board decision was received, it's impossible for the government to hypothesize why that actual board decision is in the record. I wouldn't want to speculate, but I mean there could have been other reasons. That could have been another board decision put into the record. I mean it could have been sent properly. I mean, how is one to speculate just because it's actually in the record without any affidavit support, stating its reasons, that we're to assume that it was actually sent to petitioner's former counsel?
Well, that's who it's addressed to.
Well, that's correct, Your Honor. But the board decision that's accompanying with the transmittal letter has the proper attorney's name of record. And there's no claim whatsoever that by the former attorney that she did not receive this proper board decision. I mean, we only have the board decision that's actually submitted into the record. There's no evidence. I mean,
well, the document has his name on it, the cover, the transmittal.
That's correct,
Your Honor. His attorney's name on it. But what's attached is clearly a decision that pertains to somebody else's case, and you're taking the position that just randomly arrived at his doorstep.
Well, Your Honor,
somehow and found its way into this record, and you've got a basis to contest it.
Conceivable that the board did send the improper board decision. However, without any affidavits or without any other evidence saying that was the actual board decision mailed to petitioner's former counsel, it'd be inappropriate.
Well, that was the claim in the motion to reopen, and it was discussed in the motion papers, as I understand it, and your challenge to that is that there wasn't a sworn affidavit submitted to establish those things as an evidentiary matter?
Well, and that's correct, and Your Honor, this court has previously held that there's nothing easier for an alien or for their former counsel to submit an affidavit disclaiming that they received a particular piece of mail. I mean,
is it fatal if he doesn't?
I'm sorry?
Is it fatal if he doesn't?
The government's contention is that it would be. I mean, there's nothing to support his claim whatsoever that he did not receive the proper...
Well, the documents do, so that's not enough, according to you?
Well, Your Honor, I mean, the documents in the administrative record also reveals the proper board decision. Based on that, it can also be the government's position.
Why didn't you submit that to us?
What do you mean, Your Honor?
The decision that actually pertains to this petition.
It's within the administrative record.
Okay.
It's the government's position that the record before the court is within the administrative record, and that a review of the record, and that was cited within the briefing materials, that a proper board decision was sent to petitioner's former counsel, and that's the position the government took when it initially briefed this matter. Additionally, as discussed prior in petitioner's discussion to this court, petitioner waited 4 years before filing their motion to reopen. The regulations allow certain exceptions to filing motions to reopen, but generally they must be filed within 90 days of the board's final administrative order. The board's initial decision, which petitioner filed his motion to reopen, was on June 13, 2002. And the motion to reopen filed with the board was not until 2006, which was more than 4 years after that board decision. It's important to note that during that time, petitioner became the recipient of an approved I-130 visa petition and became eligible for relief that he was not eligible for at the time the board initially ordered him removed. Additionally, although the regulations do provide certain exceptions for the timeliness requirement, none of those exceptions are applicable here. Petitioner's counsel attempts to claim that the exception for in absentia deportation order should be applicable, but there's no contest here that petitioner was, one, ordered deported in absentia, did not receive notice of their hearing, and did not appear at their merits hearing before the immigration judge. Therefore, just based on that, this motion to reopen should be denied as untimely, and the board elucidated that fact that petitioner did not file this motion to reopen in a timely fashion, and the exception cited by petitioner is clearly inapplicable. Your Honor, if there are no further questions, I see that my time is coming to an end, but if there are no further questions, I submit that Mr. Gabarov failed to file his motion to reopen in a timely fashion, and because no statutory exception applies, the petition for review should be denied. Thank you.
Thank you. You've got 1 minute if you like to maybe rebuttal.
Just briefly, in regards to opposing counsel's suggestion that affidavits, or the petitioner didn't provide any affidavits to his with his motion, we believe that in his motion the incorrect order was supplied, and that was sufficient, that the document should speak for itself. We also think that in light of the service's reluctance to remove Mr. Gabarov from the U.S. on two occasions, the Board of Immigration should recognize its own failure in failing to transmit the final order to the petitioner. At the I-130 interview and at his bag and baggage appointment, the department declined to have him removed pursuant to the board's decision.
Do we have that in the record?
Yes,
what
we have the approved.
What transpired in the I-130?
An affidavit, Your Honor? No, we do not. We have the approved I-130 application and the I-246 submission.
Do we have any detail associated with that?
Any detail?
What went on at the hearing? What went on at the adjudication of his I-130?
In his motion to reopen, yes, it's in there.
Evidentiary detail.
I'm sorry?
Evidentiary detail or some record? Record of the agency that indicates what went on?
No, there is none in the record, unfortunately. So, with respect to the four-year filing from 2002 that opposing counsel addresses, we submit to you that the equitable tolling is applicable to the situation, and it should have been from 2005 when he first was on notice that deportation order was entered against him. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.